Here have breath. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. It is a privilege to be in your midst. I want to honor and appreciate God for his faithfulness in my life. I thank Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, and the leadership in this church for what they're doing. And I just ask that, Lord, your will be done in the hearts of all men and women in this church. Even as your word comes forth today, I ask, Lord, that you would use it to inscribe that deep love and desire you have on the hearts of every hearer today in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that you will sanctify my tongue and make it like that pen of a ready writer to just bring that engrafted word to every heart. And I pray as many as are looking unto you for whatever it is their desire might be, healing, deliverance, comfort, you know, answered prayers, whatever the desire of the hearts of people are today, you who answers the cries of your people, I ask, Lord, that you will visit them. I ask you, the God of all comfort, will comfort them and minister to your people in a way that only you can. And at the end of the day, Lord, let us leave here assured that we truly are a royal priesthood. Let us leave here fully understanding what it is to be a royal priesthood. And let us leave with such a drive and empowerment from your spirit to go out there and manifest your power and your glory. This is our prayer today, and we ask this of you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may all be seated, please. My assignment today is a very interesting one. I found the topic quite interesting. And usually with me and the Spirit, it's like, Lord, you need to just mellow me down a little bit. And I'm like, okay, Lord, help me. But I thank God for the topic. I just asked one of the questions. I said, where did this come from? I don't know why I asked the question, but I'm happy I did. And my inquiry, I found that somebody had spent some time in prayer to wait upon the Lord to get the topic. And I believe that is the will of God at this time. And it's something I want to encourage us that in whatever it is we do in our lives, that we do spend time to wait upon the Lord. He does honor the steps of the righteous, and I pray he will order your steps as well in Jesus' name. I just want to bring a few insight into the topic we're dealing with, the royal priesthood. So royalty speaks of a kingly nature, okay? The priesthood talks about an office, and there were particular ways in which God used to deal with his people. You know, he used different people to administer his relationship with his people, his messages over the times. In the Old Testament, the priests served the people by ministering to God on their behalf. So they ministered to God on behalf of the people. They had the prophets who spoke the word of God to the people, and they had the kings that governed the people according to the will of God. Certain things need to be understood about this old administration, and one of them was that the king could not be a priest or perform the functions of the priest, and the priest could not be a king. However, either of them could be a prophet. So there's this clear demarcation of the priest, of the prophet, and the king. So it's important to have that background so that we understand how the administration of old was there and what the Lord used it for to administer his will, his messages, whatever it was to his people. And we begin to look into the same scripture. It says a holy nation. So God wanted a holy nation. Of all the many nations, he wanted a holy nation. He wanted a peculiar people. Okay, and the reason he wanted this holy nation and peculiar people was that they would show forth his praises of the one who had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Show forth his praises, speak about his goodness, of his wonderful works and the things he's capable of doing. So when you think of yourself as a royal priesthood, please understand that that's the expectation of God. Some other version puts it says, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others. Because of who you are, God has empowered you to show others the goodness of God. Amen? For he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let us understand that the moment you are called, there is a reason, but God has an expectation for your being called.
So that's why we're trying to understand what it means to be a priesthood. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 19. It's one of the earliest scriptures in the Bible where God tried to call out his people. And Exodus chapter 19 verse 5 and 6 says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my commandments, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession." Exodus chapter 19, 5 and 6. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Amen? So please understand, God gave a condition. If you will obey me fully. Partial obedience is not being mentioned here. Fully. And keep my covenant, an agreement. Amen? Then this is what I desire and this is what I will do. Amen? The Bible says that unto which of the angels did he ask to come and sit with him? Are they not ministering spirits to minister to the heirs of salvation? Please, when you are a royal priesthood, even the angels are to minister to you as heirs of salvation. I want to really big up this point here because sometimes we really undermine and don't fully grasp what God is saying. And I want to please remind you, every time I'm talking about the word of God or reading the word of God, please, it's not your neighbor that is speaking to you. We are talking about the Ancient of Days, the beginning and the end, the one who has never lost a battle. He's called the Mighty One of Israel, the Great One, the one who has never lost any battle. He knows the end from the beginning, with the one with whom nothing is impossible with. Let me make you understand that the job that God does every day is to make what is impossible for men possible. That's what he does day in, day out. Now he is calling you. Please understand something. It's a privilege to be called by God. Of all the creatures, including the angels, he calls you the co-heirs to sit with Jesus. You are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Some people don't understand what that means. When you begin to look at the heavenly places, for the base of just explaining right now, you've got the atmosphere that we have. We have where the spiritual powers and principalities operate, and then you have the heavens where God is in operation. Those are three levels. He says you are far above where the principalities and the powers, those that have influence upon on the earth are operating. I have given you power over them. He didn't say he's going to give you power. I have given you power. But understand the condition. It is helping somebody. Now Hebrews chapter 2 verse 25 says, "What is man putting everything in subjection to man?" The angels asked. What is man that you put everything in subjection? Why must they pay so much attention, amen, to the things that you have done for man? Praise the Lord. The Lord will just help us to understand something here. God has done so much for us. Even other members of his creation wonder, who are these people? Now, trying to understand your royal priesthood, let's understand something first and foremost. It talks about a kingly nature. The role of the king. So when we look at the role of the king, and this is something very important, the Bible says that where the word of the king is, there is power and there's authority. Now, if you are a royal priesthood, I want to let you understand that power and authority has been given unto you. And the Bible says that the kings rule by decree. How do they rule? By decree. The Bible says, "You shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass." You are the ones who are meant to understand certain things, get certain revelations, and when you open your mouth to speak and decree, the whole of creation must come to attention. Not that something you did or you want to do for yourself, it's what God has already put in place and he has made it clear to the entire creation that he created. That when man stands in his office and his capacity to speak, to decree on my behalf, every one of you must come to attention. You may not believe that. It may not feel like you're a king. But brethren, please let me understand. Let me help you to understand something here, that what God is talking about here, he put away the law. He put away the old way. He has brought into a new priesthood. And the righteousness we're talking about is not by the power of any man. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. There is nothing you can do to qualify to be in right standing with God. But the Bible talks about the righteousness that is not by the law, but by believing in who God has sent. And that you are here and you have been called by God, and his son went to the cross and died and fulfilled all the criteria, and says that you are a royal priesthood. I put it to you today clearly that you who have believed in Jesus are the righteousness of God. We need to spend time in the scripture to look at what he has said concerning us. Yes, as I said before, it may not feel like, it may not look like. It's not by what we see. The things we're talking about here, as in the kingdom, is a new dispensation. It's a new covenant. Now, God has brought about a new administration. Amen? Revelation chapter 5 helps us to understand this revelation, this new administration. It says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. Not you are going to make them. You have made them. And they will rule and reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. It's a statement. Now, our duty, as long as God is not a man that he should lie, is to discover what is this that's been given to us. What is it that we have in Christ? How do we rule and reign? And that's why I said that if you understand the righteousness you have right now, let's open to Romans chapter 3 verses 22. Amen. I'm sure we're all familiar with Romans chapter 20, Romans chapter 3 verse 23. But I want us to just look at 21 and 22. It's very important here to make this very clear point here. Romans chapter 3, verses 22. 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In this new dispensation, if you continue by the deeds of the law, you cannot be justified. All the works, of be a good person, be a good man, whatever it is, by reason of the things that were expected or explained in the law, you cannot be justified before God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law helped us to understand our failings, where we fell short. It was a schoolmaster to instruct us of our situation. But it's not capable and was not capable of taking us to that place where we're in right standing in God. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That something superior to the prophets, something superior to the law, the schoolmaster, is now in place. Those are now witnesses of a better and a superior covenant to which all of you are now a royal priesthood. And in this superior covenant, Jesus Christ, amen, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto and upon them that believe. So what qualifies you to operate in your royal priesthood is that you believe what God has put in place. You believe the one that he sent. John chapter 6 verse 29 talks about this is the work of God, that you believe the one he has sent. John chapter 6 verse 29. We are to believe. Your job in this new dispensation is not to do anything by your might or your power, but to believe Jesus. Believe the word that is spoken to you. And on the basis of what you have believed, the Bible says, I have believed, so therefore I speak. That's how you reign. That's how you begin to rule. You begin to decree what it is you have believed in your heart. And as you begin to open your mouth and you begin to speak, you begin to make changes in the atmosphere. You may not think that you are making any change, but I dare you to try and open your mouth and prophesy and decree based on the word of God. The Bible says that the angels look around and they heed the voice of God. God is waiting for somebody to believe his word. Open their mouth, give the word of God some voice. Come in alignment with what God has said. And as soon as that voice is heard, the angels have to heed. They have to take action. They are put into action because somebody has got a revelation. Somebody has begun to understand how to rule. Somebody is opening their mouth somewhere. Somebody is crying out the word of God. Somebody is decreeing. Somebody is speaking into a situation. Somebody is saying, no, that is enough. Somebody is saying, no, this is the will of God. The will of God, the counsel of God, that alone shall stand. I may not be able to control these men and women and what they're doing here, but the Bible says that the hearts of the king are in the hands of God, and he channels them like the course of a river. So that man goes down to where he has authority, where he has power, and begins to decree and to declare the counsel of God. And I'm telling you, God honors that. Now, when we're looking at the priesthood, you begin to see the example I gave to you of the invitation, where the Lord was saying that if they will heed, if only they will heed. But if you study the Bible, you will see that this generation, even though God had the plan and was promising that they would be such a peculiar people, they were disobedient. Time will not allow me to go into all the details for now. But this generation was disobedient. And because they were disobedient, the plan was changed again. Now the priesthood, the authority was now given to the Levites. The Bible says that the Lord gave them an instruction that they should take out everybody, every relative they had, each one of them with a sword. Sometimes the Lord is asking someone to do something is difficult. Listen, it will cost you something. Remember Isaac? What is your Isaac? What is that thing that you don't want to let go of? What if that's where God wants to start with you and God demands for your Isaac? Brethren, it will cost you something. Amen. And the Bible says that those men, the Levites, that obeyed the word of God to the latter, God gave them authority and power. Amen. My brother was giving us a simple explanation about, you know, the roles of the priest. Let's look at some definitions in the scripture. Time will not permit me, but we'll see if we can do justice to one or two. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, tells us a lot about this priesthood. Hebrews chapter 5, I read from verse 1. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. So every high priest was, what every high priest taken among men. So God is the one who picks a man and ordains him to be a high priest. Amen? Now, every one of them taken every one of them is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. So once again, they minister for men on the things that pertain to God. They are ordained by God that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices. So one of the duties of the priest was to bring gifts and sacrifices. Amen? And he says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also compassed with his infirmity. So we find that even the priests were not perfect. Are you with me? But God still ordained one of them to minister in the office of a priest. And so they carried on for so much time. Hallelujah. And no man take this honor to himself. God is the one that has to call you. But he was called of God, as was Aaron. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that there's a pattern that was set. There were the priests, and Aaron was called to be in that priestly role. And that pattern went on for some time out of the tribes of the Levites, you know, and it went on. But at some point, the Bible records that it was not capable of dealing with certain things. And God put in a new covenant. It says so in verse 5 here. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. He didn't choose to be the high priest. God chose him. God ordained him. Amen. And to be made a high priest, but he was said unto him that thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. So God called him, as he said unto him in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, when we look at the order of Melchizedek, it talks about the king of righteousness, the king of peace. When you look at the king of righteousness and of peace, that is what the kingdom of God is all about. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you look into Matthew, you begin to see where John is talking about the kingdom of heaven that is coming. Okay, and he was here to usher in that kingdom. So he was the one to baptize Jesus into the ministry of this new priesthood. So he came as an example to show us the way of what God wanted to do in a new superior covenant. Now, because he was after the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek, according to righteousness, he said unto John, be it unto you, suffer me to do that which needs to be done, so that I can fulfill all righteousness. So that's why he was fulfilling all righteousness in every area. Your spirit, your soul, your body, Jesus died to make sure that you are free. It was for freedom that he set us free. It was to liberty that he set you free. It is to give you a liberty among the sons of God that God set you free. So this new covenant is to set you free so that you can reign and do your job as a kingly priesthood and still live life free. But you shall know the truth, and the truth you know to apply will set you free. So even though the plan has been put in place, like it was put for the Israelites, you may not be aware, you may not be obedient, you may not take in, that is not God's fault. God has put the plan in place, but somebody needs to look into the plan. Somebody needs to discover the plan. Somebody needs to be hungry and determine that, God, what must I do? How can I be in right standing? How do I reign and rule as a king, so that that which you have said I'm capable to do, that life eternal that I live through Christ who is in me, for I no longer live, the life that I now live is Christ in me that lives. In this new covenant, it is not about you. You have to die. You need to go to the cross. Something needs to die in you. That's why you are no longer the old man. You are a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? That whole way of living has to go away. You need to get instructed, acquainted with the new way you live this new life. You are not the same old man. Listen, the priest was to stand between those who are living, which is God who is alive forever, and the dead who were dead in Christ in the things of God. The priests were to stand and intercede. That's what Moses did with the people and God. But priests are always standing. They cry unto God. They moan unto God. They stand in the gap for people, for those who are ignorant of what God has put in place. Now, when you have been saved, that's what you were saved for, to show forth the power, the praise, the things that God has for his people. It's not about being saved to go to heaven. No. You don't worry about that. By default, you will get there. You need to do what he's asked you to do. Okay, so we're getting somewhere. It's coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8. Please, I wanted to say to you, and I say it to you again, let's understand who is talking here. The Ancient of Days, the beginning and the end. The Word of God is God's will towards you, God's will for you. He wants you to understand some things. Romans chapter 8 says, now there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made them free. What did I say? Free. From the law of sin and death. A law is something that is put in place, and you cannot break the law except you follow certain principles. And that's why all men tried what they could do, but all men are born into a sinful nature. So the law of sin and death had been operating for a long time. And the priest, the old covenant, the old administration could not set these people free. So God put a superior covenant with a superior administration. That is why they were not only priests but kings also. Are you with me? But they were operating from a spiritual dimension, not the works of any man, not by works of flesh that any man could come and boast. It was the gift of God. So what we're understanding here is that if any man is in this new law, this new covenant, are you with me? The law of the Spirit of God and life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Now what that means, like gravity, you are trying to jump, you're trying to jump in your own strength, you cannot do it. But there's a superior law called aerodynamics. And if you understand how to apply the concept, then you will be able to obtain lift. Am I talking to somebody here? But if you don't look into study aerodynamics and understand how the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus Jesus operates. You will constantly be under the law of sin and death. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It takes insight, some education, some understanding of the instruction in the way that it needs to be done to break out of that. This law of aerodynamics has always been there, but until men were able to discover that it was a superior law to the law of gravity, men were not able to take flight. It's no different with the spiritual. It has been there from a long time. It is helping somebody. Verse 3 says, and I'm Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the works of the hands, the works of man, that system is abolished. It is by the Spirit. Is this helping anybody? Oh, I don't feel God. I don't sense God. I can't see God. What about the old way and new way? Don't you understand? Your physical senses will not help you in this dimension. You have to get an understanding of your spiritual senses. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13 and 14 talks about being able to utilize, walk, and operate in the spiritual senses by reason of use. You can't use something you haven't even discovered that you have. Is this helping somebody? So I'm here without going into too much theory. If you give me time for that, we'll deal with that. To just let you know that as a royal priesthood, you have been given authority. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 talks about, I've given you all authority and all power. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1 says the same thing about him giving power to his disciples. God has given us power and authority. And I think God knows what it means by power. And God knows what he expects the power to do. So if you are not understanding what power means and you're not flowing in power, then maybe you're not making a proper connection. But I want to make it clear to you that when God talks about power, God knows what he's talking about power. And those who have discovered and understand how to operate the superior law will operate in that power. And there is no power in heaven or on earth that can resist the power of God that God has given to you. He has given you the authority to delegate, to speak, to decree on his behalf. But you need to know what he has said. You need to understand what his law says. And then when you begin to open your mouth to say, it's in alignment, it's in agreement, and there will be a performance. For we have a great high priest, Jesus, who watches over this word to ensure that there is a performance. So the integrity of the word of God is not upon you. That's God's integrity, and God is not prepared to change or shift his integrity for anybody. The word of God will stand. He honors his word more than his name. But somebody on the earth needs to believe that God knows what he's talking about. God means what he's talking about. Somebody needs to spend time to discover what he wants us to do, how to walk in our kingly role. And I promise you, there shall be a performance. For the Bible said the word was with them. The Lord was with them, walking with them, with signs and wonders following. That's the expectation. Should I show you some more expectation? Okay. Let's look into Ephesians. I love that this verse so much. So please understand that those who have believed in Christ are called the church. Christ is the head of the church. Do I get a witness here? Okay. So when they're talking church, talking to you and you and you who have believed, who are you and you who are born again. Amen. Now, just like the law of gravity, like I explained to you, sometimes there are mysteries, some things are not understood for several generations. Does not make them immaterial or void of power. Now, the Bible says here about the apostle in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, how that by revelation made known unto me the mysteries. Okay, as I wrote to you before. So there were some mysteries made known to the Apostle Paul, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge of these mysteries of Christ. So there are mysteries of Christ that have been revealed. Are you with me? But as believers, it is our duty and our responsibility to discover what God has already revealed for us. It is the duty of kings to discover. Are you with me? To discover, to make some research, to do some due diligence concerning what God has already revealed for them to know, understand, and operate in, and then begin to apply themselves as they discover. So here is Apostle Paul saying, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. In this dispensation is by the Spirit. It's not by the work of any man. Amen? It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs as well of the same body and partakers of this promise of Christ by the gospel. The whole idea is that even the Gentiles are supposed to be partakers of this power, this anointing, this authority. But it is to be made known to them, the revelation, the insight, by you who have believed, the church. And he goes on to say, it says in verse 8, he says, unto me, whom I'm the least of all the saints, is this grace given, and I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the glory. I just like the way Apostle Paul goes about it. I'm the least of all the saints. Some of you say, I'm the least of my, like Gideon, I'm the least in my family. I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. God doesn't need you to be qualified in any of those things. He just needs you to believe. There are too many stories. Go read about Moses. He said he couldn't talk. He doesn't know how to speak. Okay, don't worry. You take Aaron. Get somebody else with you. God will get his purposes done one way or the other. Did you notice that even when the Israelites were disobedient, he bypassed them and went to the Levites? May God not bypass you. God's purposes will be fulfilled. The counsel of God will stand. One generation or the other, he will do what he says he's going to do. I pray that God will find some people that will believe his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, finally, where I was going to, it says in verse 10, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things in Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities, the powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The excellency, the power, the manifold wisdom of God has to be made known, must be declared. Some people need to open their mouth and preach, even up to the principalities and power. Let them know somebody here has to manifest. Somebody here has a message. Somebody here has to speak to his generation. Somebody here has to speak to their problem. Somebody here has to speak to society. Somebody here has to stand up to moral degradation. Whatever it is, somebody who is a royal priesthood has to stand up, begin to rule, begin to decree, begin to reign, and you will see change. For that's the counsel of God. Behold, I give you power. Listen, this power is embedded in the preaching of the gospel. As you preach it, as you decree, as you declare, power is released. Now let me tell you something a lot of you don't understand as Christians. When we stay here in the presence of God and God is moving and God is walking through all of us for such a long time, some of you need to go to a place where there is no light. And you'll be surprised how much light you are carrying. Go try pray for somebody. Go try decree. Go try find one scripture and speak into somebody's life. And you stand there and continue to decree until you see a manifestation. You will see it. Why? God has to watch over his word to perform it. But he's looking, and I sought for a man. I'm looking for people that will stand in the gap. Priests stand in the gap. Intercessors stand in the gap. It is helping somebody. I'm sorry, I'm so excited. Amen. Praise the Lord. I gave a scripture earlier on, I didn't give you the right scripture, in 21 verse 5 about the Israelites. It says, because the tribe of Levi was willing to obey, Deuteronomy 21 verse 5, and uphold the holiness and righteousness of God, they became the priests of God. Amen? Is there anyone here who is prepared to hold the holiness, to consider it of value, to walk in all righteousness? Then God is prepared to make you a priest. Amen? Then the priests, the sons of the Levi, came near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to serve him and to bless in the name of the Lord. Brethren, when the Lord calls you, he has empowered you to bless. You will be a blessing. Amen? Some of you are worried about your family. I enjoy you to stand in your priestly role and begin to minister. God has empowered you to be a blessing to them. And until you begin to stand in that role as a priest, not to argue with them, but to get in that place of intercession, to pray for them, to pray the will of God in their life, I promise you that God is still in the business of saving the lost. And he will do great things through each of our lives in Jesus' mighty name. I just want to say in closing, I'm aware of my time, that when you look at the ministry of Jesus, I said, you know, when he came in Matthew chapter 3, and John was baptizing him, and he said, let it be done unto me, suffer it to be done for all righteousness. Jesus Christ was tried, tested in every sphere of what makes you a human being. Body, spirit, and soul. You only need to look at the temptation in Matthew chapter 4, and you will see that each temptation was in each arena of the compartments of what makes you. And I want you to understand that the salvation that God has brought to us as Christians is so powerful that many are still enjoying the salvation that they have through Christ Jesus in the spirit. But God is desiring that you be saved in the body, that you be saved in your mind. And that's why there's a process of sanctification. You are being, that salvation is being walked through. Are we catching this? Amen. So at this time, I just want to say to us here that Christ made sure that he fulfilled all the righteousness so that he could be a good high priest for whatever arena, whatever trouble you are going through. The principal problem was sin. And in every other area of your life, whether it's your body, your physical, you are only suffering the consequences of sin. But if you deal with the root problem, then sin has to find somewhere to go. Amen? The consequence of sin must find somewhere to go. And I want to say to you that if you are truly the priesthood, that royal priesthood, then understand something. Sin is not your portion. Sickness is not your portion. But brethren, we need to consecrate ourselves. That's the important thing about being a priest. It's separating ourselves to be used by God. And when you look at the requirements, it's a great deal. It will cost you a great deal. But the rewards are eternal. Amen? So I don't know, you know, if any of this has ministered to you, but I want to believe that there are some people who, when you consider whatever it is you're going through, I have just released the word of the Lord to you, that you are a royal priesthood. God has chosen you as a peculiar people. He has empowered you to do great things. He has a great expectation. There is a responsibility we have as priests to the Most High. Let us get to understand our responsibilities as priests. Let us stand in the office of kings that we are. Let's decree and declare to bring about the change that Martin spoke about. For we are the ones that heaven is expecting to change our world. For you all on the inside of you, I am here to let you know, carry within you the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Can we all rise? I don't know, you know, based on what we have shared today in reflection, you look at your life, and as a priest, where have you fallen short? The Bible says that we should be very careful that we do not take this great salvation for granted. He didn't die on the cross for nothing. He died to save you and myself. He died for the many who are still ignorant. But the Bible says, how will they call upon him whom they have never known about? How are they going to know the name that they will call? If people who know the name that they should call, don't go out them and tell them what they need to do. I look at the story in Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian Enoch opened the word of God into the place where it was written. And then the man of God had to come to him and say, do you understand what it is you are reading? For they can read and they'll be having an interaction with the letter. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit that gives life. But I know that there's still a people who are a royal priesthood, who heaven has given them a revelation of who they are, of who Christ is in them, and what it means to be a royal priesthood. And they are the people to go and help everyone that is still in ignorance, like the Ethiopian Enoch, to give them an understanding of the scriptures, of the mysteries, of the revelations of God, so that we can help these people. For if God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that none of us should perish, but as many as will believe should come into this free life. Brethren, you have a duty, you have a responsibility to the world out there. You don't need to go to a Bible school. Your testimony is enough. That is not to say that if you need to be equipped to that level, the Bible school will not help you. It will enhance you, definitely. But I want to let you know that it's not by your power. It's not by your eloquent speaking. It's not by the amount of scriptures that you understand. But there is something on the inside of you that needs to find expression. Christ came to our world to express to mankind what God looks like. And I'm telling you that he has given us the mandate that every one of us now go explain to the world, express to the world what God looks like, what the power of God looks like, what the kingdom of priests looks like. And you are the ones who have that mantle upon your life. What will be said about you about the end? What will people say about you? What would you have done with that great salvation that God has given to you? That's what I want to leave you with tonight. Ponder upon this and consider your ways. The Lord help you and bless you. But I want to say that if you're here today and you are honest with God and you want to make a turnaround, you know, repentance is a change of mindset. It's not telling God nice things and turn around tomorrow and go doing that. No. Godly repentance talks about a change and a turn. And if you want to make a change, a declaration, a stand today, we are before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says, unto him shall all the garden of his people be. He is in the midst of them wherever they are gathered together. And I know that the Lord is here today. If you've never really made that commitment to Jesus Christ, you have never really decided to take a stand for the gospel. You have probably maybe given your life to Christ, but you have done really nothing as far as getting to understand who you are, what God expects from you. And you want to get back to that place. I'm asking you, the altars are open that you come here. For the Bible makes us to understand that wherever the word of the Lord, the King is, there is power. And I know that based on this word that has come for today, there is a power to restore. There is a power to deliver. There is a power to save. And if you will connect with that power, not because I'm saying anything, I am not speaking my words. I stand here before you as one that brings the message of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to as many as will hear this message, to as many as will respond, as many as are making a decision today that, Lord, I want to serve you. I'm prepared to give my all. I'm prepared to surrender everything that I have. It is not by my power anymore. I have leaned too much on my own understanding. I've tried to work things out in my own way. But I'm asking you today, help me. I'm asking you today, empower me. I'm asking you today, open the eyes of my understanding that I might understand your plan, your purpose, your intention for my life. That I might be a true royal priest, able to represent you without any fear, without any shame. Come what may, what can man do to me if God is with me? Some of you have been up and down. This time, this word, may it not stand against you. I urge you, come and settle with your maker. I urge you to talk to him. I urge you to come forward. I urge you to come and make peace with your maker. I urge you to respond to the word of God. Even as you are here, begin to talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Maybe you have leaned on your understanding. Maybe you are still looking for a feeling. You are still expecting something. He has given you the word. He says you do well to look into the word. The perfect law of liberty. As one that looks in the mirror. As one that discovers the will and the plan of God for their life. Look into the word of God. Study the word of God. Meditate upon the word of God. Make sure you are doing the will of God. Make sure you fully obey what is asking you to do. Maybe you don't understand something. Have you prayed for somebody to teach you? Have you prayed for somebody to help you? Have you called upon the leaders? Have you called upon the elders? Have you called for those who are doing what you are desiring to do? Brethren, there is no excuse before God.